I'm going to take a break from Exodus because I've always felt in my ministry that when something significant happens in the country or in the neighborhood, that the church should not just pretend that it didn't happen. We need to talk about it. I think I mentioned to you before that one time something really terrible happened in Southern California when I was there. And it involved the whole of Southern California. There was riots. There was all kinds of stuff. And I went to church the next day. Nobody said anything. It was really weird. I thought, that's so strange. There was still smoke coming out from the fires that had happened because of the riots. And I thought, we should talk about these things. We shouldn't let the opportunity go by. It's a teachable moment. So I wanted to say, okay, I'll go back to Exodus next week. But there's also some principles that we've already learned in Exodus that will help you even with this issue. When evil abounds, what do you do? When something terrible happens, like what happened in Florida, what happened in Las Vegas, Nevada, what happened in Aztec, New Mexico, what do you do? What is God wanting you to do, and how do you react? How do you act? What do you say? Jesus said something in his prophesying about the end of the age when the disciples asked him, what's the end of the world going to be like? And one of the things that he said that I picked up on was, because iniquity, that means sin, evil, wickedness, abounds, it will increase the love. And that word love is that word that he uses, the love that his people are supposed to have, the agape love of his people, will wax cold. And that means that because there's so much bad stuff happening, people start pulling back and they stop doing what you need to do by being a light to the world, a hope to the world, an encouragement to the world. Because every time you try to help, it seems like something worse happens. And you stick your head out, and like the turtle, you get whacked, and you pull your head back in, and you go, I'm not going out there again. So you need to understand that the Lord is telling us iniquity is going to increase. In his prophecies of the end times, Jesus said it'll be like birth pains that come upon a woman. They're slow at first, and they get worse and worse and worse until the baby is born, right? That's the way the end of the age is going to happen. We're not going to be able to turn off the news. I mean, I do think you should turn off your phone once in a while. It used to be when I was a kid, you went home, the news happened, and you watched the evening news, and that was it. Or if you were a radio junkie, you heard it on the hour. Now it's you get alerts on your cell phone, right? And so you hear about things that happened in Russia. This morning, 5 people were shot in a church in Russia. And you hear about it. I mean, you wouldn't have heard about that for 2 weeks, or if you would have ever heard about it. So I think that we need to kind of monitor ourselves, because if you always listen to the crises that happen, they're always happening somewhere, everywhere. There was an earthquake in Mexico. I just asked John, did that impact you? There was a tsunami here, there was a flood there, there was a fire there. There's so much happening all the time, so many different crises that you and I we can't process at all. So you need to kind of govern how much of it you expose yourself to. What can you do? Are you a solution to the issue? If you were in Florida, and like I was thinking to myself, if I was a pastor at a church in Florida and I was dealing with this, how would I deal with it? So I wanted to stop and talk about this because we need to be praying about it. We need to be quiet. We need to be calm. And we need to come up with good solutions, okay? So Psalms is going to talk about this. But before I go to this psalm, I want to read you this. Jesus, speaking to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, said this concerning the final arrival of Antichrist and the mark of the beast and the terrible things that will be going on at that time. He said, if anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword, he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of his saints. So the encouragement of scriptures is always this. Evil's going to be happening in your life, around your life, somewhere. You can't escape this life and the consequences of this life. There's good and there's bad. If you happen to live in Europe during the rise of the Third Reich, it did impact you. People lost their lives, their property, their business. I mean, these things happen. Believers are encouraged in the scriptures to be patient and to endure. Jesus would often say this in the book of Revelations, he who endures to the end, he overcomes to the end. So these things, they keep on happening. and they eventually touch us in some way. Like Marisol got touched with that. She came in on Wednesday night and she was crying because of what had happened there, because she lived there. She understood that. So these things are real things, and we need to understand what the Bible tells us. Watch. Look at Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, there's this age-old question that all of the prophets and all of the people of God always asked. And what they asked was, why is there evil? Why is it doing so well? Why don't you do something about evil and wickedness, God? Why do the wicked prosper? What's going on? And here's the one of the Psalms that kind of deal with it a little bit. Okay, in Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. So the first thing you need to grasp or understand from Scripture is that you need to control yourself. Remember, I told you that last week when God was negotiating with Moses about going down to Egypt and getting the people out of slavery, that Moses told God, I don't want to do it. No thanks. Send somebody else. And it says, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Remember that? And I spent some time telling you that God controlled his anger. He doesn't just blow up like a pressure cooker or like a black cat firecracker. He controls himself, because self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Self-control. So as you look at evil and it abounds and it rears its ugly head, like what happened in Florida, and something will happen in your life or around you, and you've got to understand how to deal with it. The first thing you need to understand is control. Look what it says, do not fret. The word fret, I looked it up in my Hebrew dictionary, it's to blaze up in anger, in zeal, in jealousy, to be angry, to burn, to be displeased, to grieve, to wax hot, to be incensed, or to be kindled and very angry. So fretting is a word that is kind of like synonymous with losing your cool. When he says, don't fret because of evil. In other words, evil happens, so I'm going to fight fire with fire. I'm going to be just as bad as they are. They hit me, I'm going to hit them back. They shot my kid, I'm going to go shoot them. And I asked somebody that after first service. I said, what would you do if that happened? He goes, I'd wait in court and I'd pop them. I mean, that's the way we think. And it's something that you've really got to understand. The Bible is asking you to control yourself. Why? When I look at my life and I think of the times that I have controlled my emotions and controlled myself and my actions and reactions, and then when I haven't, I always look at when I haven't and say it made it worse, right? How many of you, when you lose it, it made it better? It didn't, right? It's always better to control yourself. It's always better to not fight evil with evil, but to be good and to do right. So you need to control yourself, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and you need a dynamic relationship with God in order to do this. How do you control your emotions when something evil is happening, when something bad is going on? When you get the news that something like that happened, let's say you're a family member. I watched one hot father on one of the news channels saying, I didn't know what to do. I was getting these texts, and I just felt out of control. I couldn't do anything. What do you do? Well, you control yourself first, because you've got to be in control of your emotions in order to act properly. Watch. Next thing you need to do is call upon the Lord. Call upon him. Ask him, okay, God, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Now, I've heard some people say, I don't want your prayers. I want you to do something about guns. I understand. There's going to be a whole bunch of emotion and emotional actions and reactions to what happened, obviously. Like Jesus, we have to see past all of that and say, okay, Lord, what's a proper course of action for us as a people to take? What should our leaders do? How do we do it? It's going to take some wise decision-making, okay? So what he's saying here in Psalms is control your emotions and your reactions first, and then call upon the Lord. Ask him, okay, God, what's going on? Should I fight evil with evil, fight fire with fire? You know, they hit me, I hit them, or should I just trust in you? This sounds like giving up. Oh, okay, I'll just trust in God, whatever. Thanks a lot, God, that didn't save my kid's life. If you adopt that attitude, you'll be really upset all the time. You've got to trust in him. You've got to call upon him in the midst of trial, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of tragic news. I mean, I got exposed to that. Some of you saw that happen to me. And I can't say that I was the paragon of the best example of somebody. Obviously, it's a difficult thing to hear that your kid is dead. I mean, that's a hard news to hear. I was reading a grief book after that happened, and it said that when it's an expected thing, like somebody has cancer and they're sick, and you kind of get ready for it emotionally. But when it's a total accidental death or a thing like what happened in Florida, you're standing there, and it's like somebody hit you in the back of the head. You're standing on the sidewalk, somebody hit you in the back of the head, and you fell in the street, and you go, what happened? That's the way it felt, and that's the way it does feel. It is a horrible thing when something like that occurs. So what do? Well, you compose yourself, you get control of yourself, you call upon the Lord. And I know how this works because I've actually gone through it, and let me tell you, it does work. Calm yourself in his presence next. Be still before the Lord. Calm yourself. Don't fret, don't react in anger, don't get control of your emotions, do the things that are right and be still. There's another psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." What is it to be still? It is, okay, stop. Stop all of the information coming. Just stop and pray and say, okay, God, I don't get what's going on here. I remember thinking to myself, all right, God, you're God. You have made a decision here concerning the life of my son. He is now gone. He's now where you are. You're God. And since you're God and it's your decision, because death doesn't happen unless God sovereignly allows it, say, well, that sounds like it's God's fault. If you look at it only in that perspective, then you're going to have trouble understanding. Physical death is not the end of the story. Physical death is just the passage from this life into the next. He who believes in me, even if he dies, yet shall he live. So, well, what if my loved one didn't know God? Don't worry, God knows. God knows. You don't know if they knew God or not. You don't know. You don't know everything. God does. So trust in him. Be still before the Lord. Calm yourself in his presence. Wait patiently for him. Wait. People get the news and they run down there. And what are you going to do? Even if I would have driven 100 miles an hour down to the intersection where my son got killed, I couldn't have changed it. He was gone already. You see this? You're going to get in trouble going 100 miles an hour down the street. You got to be careful. Calm yourself, because if you don't, you'll react badly. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain. Look at these words that are encouraging us. They're telling us to make conscious choices about this. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. I've been watching some of the coverage, and I've been seeing a lot of really angry people. And it might help just for the grieving process. I understand when somebody's going through it that they're going to act angry. It's like when somebody's hurt physically in an accident. Ask any EMT or anyone who takes somebody to the emergency room when they're first there and they're in pain. They're screaming and yelling and all of that. Okay, I understand that. But you've got to refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Don't fret. It leads only to evil. So calm yourself in the presence of God. Say no to anger. Say no to fretting and trying to control the situation so that you can be calm enough to make a good decision. Watch. Recall scriptural promises. Evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for him, they will not be found. In the scriptures, God addresses the issue of evil and wickedness and bad things. We look at it and we say, like, oh my goodness, oh look what's happening. And we feel like we've got to do something, and we get all up in arms about it. And God's saying, calm yourself down. Remember, I am God. I will deal with it. Adolf Hitler is now gone, okay? Joseph Stalin is now gone. Mao Zedong is gone. I mean, I'm talking some of the worst personages in history. There's been many others. The earthquake is over. The flood is over. The world war is over. God is sovereign. He does, in time, deal with all things. Well, thanks a lot, God. Why don't you deal with it quicker? Obviously, you're not God, and you don't understand all of the ins and outs of everything. Geopolitical things, national conflicts, world wars, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes. You don't understand it all, and everybody that lives everywhere, but God does. You need to recall the scriptural promises that God knows what he's doing. He will deal with it. Eventually, wickedness will be totally gone. The Bible promises this. In heaven, there will be no more evil. None at all. It'll be done with. Right now, we live in an existence where evil happens. Wickedness happens. Why? I've told you before. Life is a tremendous educational process that we're all going through. You're in the university of life. And God is teaching us through everything we experience. What is he teaching us? Why he had to do what he did, why his son had to die on the cross, what wickedness is, what rebellion is, what sin is, what everything is, so that you and I will appreciate it when we get there. Because otherwise, if you just came into existence and nothing wrong ever happened and you just poofed into heaven, you wouldn't even understand what heaven was. Now you can understand it because you're living in an existence where evil exists side by side with good. Now what do you do? Remember the promises of Scripture. God will deal with it. Rest in the sovereignty of the Lord. Rest in his sovereignty. You know what the word, I know they may not teach this in the public schools nowadays because they don't believe in God's sovereignty. Sovereignty means he is reigning over all things. God is king and he is over all things. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. So you have to rest in the sovereignty of the Lord. You remember all of these tremendous things that he does about evil. Concerning what happened in Florida again, or many of these horrible things that occur that are similar, the mentally ill in our midst. I'm really close to this issue because I have a brother who's mentally ill. And in the discussion of what to do about these massive things, mass shootings that are happening, we need to have the discussion about how do we enable people that are in the circles of family members and friends who know that somebody's a problem, that we have mechanisms that allow us to say, hey, this family member or this friend, there's something really wrong. You got to check them out. I know there's privacy rights. I know there's ACLU, all of that stuff. But we've got to allow people to be able to say, hey, you know what? We got to do something about this guy. He's got an arsenal, and he's talking about killing everybody. We've got to have a discussion, and the only way we can do this is we're calm, we're not fretting, we're not angry. We've got to talk about this. We've got to pass wise legislation about what to do about this. Now, you know, look, we have a security team here at Grace Church. Why? Because it's happening. It happens all over. Why do you lock your door at night? Why do you lock your car door? Why do you take security measures for yourself? Because there's evil out there, and sometimes people lose it. Sometimes demon possession occurs. Sometimes the unpredicted can occur. So you have to take measures. It's not wrong to take measures. But you need to rest in the sovereignty of the Lord. He will deal with wickedness. Now, you need to be content with righteousness. Because evil happens, we have this inclination to fight evil with evil, fight fire with fire. If they hit me, I'll hit them harder. If they cuss me, I'll cuss them back worse. See where that gets you in life. When somebody is in control, I have noticed that those kinds of people do way better in life than those who are not. People that don't learn how to control themselves, I have found, they continue to hurt themselves. You've got to learn how to be content and do that which is right. I know, doing right seems mamby-pamby. Doing right seems like, oh man, you mean I just got to be goody-goody? What's wrong with being goody-goody? What's wrong with being righteous? Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known unto the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. You hear what it says there? It doesn't say that disaster will never come to them. It's that disaster won't make them wither away. Disaster is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen in life. It's just the game of life. You cannot escape the fact that one day that knock will come, or that text will come, or that phone call will come, and it's the call you don't want to hear, right? Your brother flatlined, right, John? I mean, like, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, I got to get to L.A., I got to get ready for the funeral, all of that stuff, right? You start thinking that way. It's going to come, but you won't wither, it says. In the days of famine, they'll enjoy plenty, but the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. Jesus said this, don't worry. Look at the flowers of the field. Solomon couldn't dress like these pretty flowers, but they're here today, gone tomorrow. What God is saying in the scriptures is that wickedness, it looks like it's doing really well. He says, don't worry, it's going to be gone. I'm going to deal with it. I will deal with it. Be content to live in peace, to live in righteousness, to do the things that are right in life, to be in control of yourself, to live right, act right, speak right, think right. There's nothing wrong with that. Remember the history of God's people next. You got to remember that there is a tremendous cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12 says, that we human beings are surrounded by. There has always been wickedness. There have been times of great wickedness in human history. Okay? And the people of God are in the midst of that, and what do? You trust. You do that which is right. You serve God. God deals with it. The wicked borrow and do not repay. By the way, that's a tremendous scripture that you need to look at. But the righteous give generously, because those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he, God, makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I'm old. This is the writer of the psalm. And if you ask anyone who's lived any amount of life, especially the older people, I tell you younger people, please don't think that, oh, there are no young people, a bunch of gray-headed guys. Learn from them, because the gray-headed guys have got wisdom. I mean, go ahead and talk to your friends. They don't know what's going on. I mean, talk to an older person. I remember being discipled by a 70 and 80-year-old guy. They were way wiser than anyone in my circle. Listen, I was young, now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. So remember the history of God's people. Remember, God deals with evil in every generation, and it's always the righteous that come through it. They're the ones that prosper. They're the ones that do well into the future. The wicked, they get cut off. Wickedness never flourishes. Wickedness kills itself. Repent of your sins and not the sins of others. I say this to people in marriages. In marriage counseling, it's not your job to confess the sin of your spouse. It is your job to deal with your own sins. Deal with yourself. Be the person you're supposed to be. Turn from evil and do good, Psalm says. It continues, turn from evil and do good. Refrain from anger. Turn from anger. Do not fret. Notice all of these admonitions. They're asking you to make a conscious choice. Now, I know that when you get that news, like if you're a family member and you get that news, one of your children got shot by a madman in the school, I know that that's going to be very difficult to try to process, okay? But you can. You can. You can trust in God. You can turn from evil, do good, and you'll dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. That doesn't mean that they won't encounter evil and wickedness, but they'll be protected. The offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. Right now, what we need is wisdom, not a bunch of yelling and screaming. We need wisdom. And we do have to have a grown-up conversation about, do we let the mentally ill get machine guns into their hands? Well, duh. How do we deal with that? What mechanism can we put into place that will keep this from occurring? I don't know, okay? I'm not a legislator, but I do know that this goes on too often. We've got to stop it, okay? Well, that means get rid of all guns. Well, I don't know if that's the solution either, because what was the Boston Bomber guys? They used pressure cookers. Okay, let's get rid of all pressure cookers. Well, thanks. I can't make beans up here. I mean, we're at 7,000 feet. You need a pressure cooker. But I mean, we've got to be wise. We have to have wise counsel. Obviously, we've got to talk about those of you. I know that I'm conservative. I'm pro-amendment, Second Amendment, First Amendment, all of that stuff. Still, though, you don't need machine guns with 100-round clips. Come on. I mean, how many deer do you want to kill? Just, it's for the government. If the government comes after you, even if you have a machine gun, you're not going to win. They got way more firepower than you. Anyway, whatever. I know there's sides to the issue. I'm not taking a side here. I am saying that we've got to have a grown-up discussion about the issue. and it's multifaceted. It's the mentally ill. It's weapons that can do a lot of damage. It's all of these. It's hardening schools, hardening places of public assembly like we did with our security team. Why do we do this? Because it's wise, that's why. We've got to talk about, that means legislating budget for security at public schools. That's what it means. Every single public school in the United States of America. Whoa, that's a lot of money. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot. We have teachers there. We have janitors there. We pay the utilities there. We're going to have to do security there, too, right? It's just the nature. So start pressuring your legislators about this, saying, hey, protect my kids at school, please. I don't want to be at work and get this weird phone call, please, right? Okay. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. Now, repose yourself in the Lord. About the increase of wickedness, and God's already telling us, don't fret, calm yourself, call upon the Lord, remember his promises, trust in his sovereignty, repose yourself in the Lord. What does it mean to repose? It means to place faith in, to have confidence in, to trust in somebody. Who are you trusting in? God. Unless you think there is no God. I feel sorry for people that don't believe there's a God, because their only recourse is to have human answers to human problems. That's a huge problem, because sin and wickedness is superhuman. It comes from Satan. He's the murderer from the beginning, the Lord Jesus said. Sin and evil and wickedness has to be dealt with on a spiritual level, and God does. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. When we get to heaven, it's going to be gone. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. Notice again what it says here. Not that you won't have trouble. Not that you won't enter into times of trouble in this world. Not that you won't get that knock on the door, or that phone call, or that text, or that visit that something horrible has happened. They're going to happen. The Lord helps and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Now, I can attest to this because it happened to me. And I told you this before, that when I got the news of my son, and as I went through the whole process, I thought to myself, wow, this is weird. I am in this kind of envelope of protection from God. It really is like a stronghold. I thought to myself, this faith that God has given us is bulletproof. I'm not even sinking. By trusting in God, reposing myself in God, there was a tremendous sense of, okay, God, you're in control, and I can trust you. Now, there are those who, they're not going to trust God. They're going to yell, they're going to scream, they're going to make big frets and fusses about it all and try to control it all. But you and I, we need to just repose ourselves in the Lord. You need to look past the things that are happening in the lives of people so that you can help them. Okay, let's stand. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of Scripture that even in the midst of difficult times where we have seen evil rear its ugly head and where we have experienced people that have lost loved ones, kids, little kids have had to run away. We're seeing this happen too much, Lord. But we know that these things are historical, and we know that there is wickedness in this world and in world history. And we know that it's not going to stop, but we know that we can do something about these things. We can take measures. You can give us wise counsel and guidance about what to do and how to do it, how to deal with the mentally ill, how to deal with weapons of mass destruction, how to deal with machine guns in the hands of kids. These things we need to talk about. So give us calmness, give us wisdom, give us the right actions to take so that these things don't continue to occur. In Jesus' name, Lord, calm your people. Calm everybody that's involved in this. Calm us and give us guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.